Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I am Jameel Graham, your host, and I am pleased to welcome you all to our transforming world that is becoming more beautiful as each one of us wake up the little love light in us and breathe life in it and become the bright, bright, beautiful, loving lights that we all are. I am my guest today. I am sharing a fantastic transformation with all of us, and I have recently put my websites back together in a way I'm very happy to introduce to all of you. The alchemyoflight.org site is my site, very focused on providing quality information that will stimulate a bigger conversation and hopefully encourage people to have that conversation. And the towardthelight.org is a website that I inherited from my mother, Juliet Nightingale, who has taught me the value of life, life in the body, life in the spirit, and the continuing life of the spirit when it leaves the body. She and I shared a very, very rich telepathic communion when she was in her body. Then she left her body, and our telepathic communion was never interrupted. She had a radio show here on bbsradio.com called towardthelight.org. I'm sorry, her site's towardthelight.org. Her radio program is called Toward the Light, Toward the Light radio show. And in her program, she focused on the near-death experience, spiritually transmitted experiences, transformative experiences. She herself was a multiple near-death experiencer. And what has become very, very clear is that her work has just begun. She was ahead of her time always, and the wealth of information in her archives is one of the tools that we all can use to enrich our own understanding of who we are as a human being, as a being having a human experience. So with these incredible revelations that we must wait, and we must love ourselves, and we must just hang in there, because when she took her last breath, it was a tremendous loss for me and for many. And to come to a place where I am able to really feel the value not only of our continuing relationship in spirit, continuing our telepathic union, continuing the deepening of my own interdimensional traveling, but also with the gift that we can continue to learn and grow with her, with these archives and the tremendous lessons that they offer. And the trick is that we have to take that on for ourselves. Nobody can change our consciousness. Nobody can prove anything to anybody. I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. Entering this conversation was very interesting because immediately somebody approached me and said, well, you know, we don't know what happens after you die. Nobody does. And I thought, you know, some people have a clue and some people don't. But the big question, the big answer, the big journey is, do you care to know or not? Is it in your heart to discover, to learn, to be more, to understand more about your place, your special, special light in the cosmological weave of who we are as a humanity? If you really, really care about that, you must, for yourself, find the courage to face yourself and your belief systems and your hard rocks that are yours, your special opportunity to learn and to grow, to develop your own unique pathway inside the depths of your own soul, that you can become an interdimensional traveler inside your own soul. If you choose, nobody is ever going to prove you anything. Only you can be the one you can trust. This is the most intimate journey we have to take on. And we are in a fantastic time here on planet Earth. There is a window opportunity for all humankind right now to be assisted and guided and really, really, really look into the beauty, the landscape of our inner being with so much support and so much love and so many spirits and entities that are just, they can't wait to help us. They just need us to ask. There is more love and more support, more light, literal light pouring onto the planet all the time that wants to help us grow, that wants to help us grow not only ourselves and our own peace of mind. It wants us to help grow the whole human species to become who and what it is truly capable of. Now, the human here on planet Earth, I might summarize and say we have learned a lot about what we are capable of doing when we choose to not cultivate our higher understanding of who we are. The human today on planet Earth walks about largely indifferent to not only itself, but to every other living being on the planet. This is just one option for the human being. The human does not have to stay locked in indifference, in total ignorance imposed by itself, of itself and other beings. You, me, all of us have a choice. We can choose to open our eyes, but most important, the key is not in our eyes. It is not in our head. Nope. Our rational minds need to go to the shop and get a tune-up. Our rational minds, have you noticed how incredibly irrationally they are behaving? Okay, so let's put our rational minds in the shop straight away, but we'll talk about what shop in a minute. Okay, so putting our rational minds in the shop for a major overhaul, what do we have? Our hearts, our heart mind. The power of the human is in our feelings. We feel everything. We feel even if we ignore that we are feeling. We feel everything way above, beyond uncountable feelings, way beyond the I am my body sensory five senses. That's all yada yada for the I am my body paradigm. It's not who we are. It is just one option, one hat. We've tried it on. Where did it get us? That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we can put our hearts on, how we can put our conscious focus inside our hearts and learn how to be with our feelings, learn how to explore our feelings without judging ourselves, without judging the other. It's never about them. It's about us. So today is a celebration of letting go. This show, Alchemy of Light, thank you so much to Dawn and BBS Radio for offering this chance to really be a part of the pulsating light for humanity in whatever capacity I am granted, because it's really good news, people. It looks like heck right now. It looks very scary. It looks very unpleasant. Things are falling down at a rapid pace, and we haven't even begun to see the extent of the devastation that is coming. It really is. We really have a lot to let go of. Our world is changing because it is not supporting our growth. This is my personal approach. The world that we have created, we have co-created, we have been manipulated to create, whatever your political understanding, doesn't matter. What the point is where we are at is not where we can be. It is not reflecting the best of who we are and what we have come here to do. The human has been truncated from its soul consciousness. We have abandoned our true inner knowing. We have abandoned the voice inside of us that knows that we need to think about what we're doing, but we choose not to. That is living in a truncated state that does not reflect who we truly are. So our world is going to crumble and crash until we remember. Until we remember who we are, we will continue to face the devastation, the absolute destruction of everything that is false. Everything that does not support our growth will be cleansed now. It is the only way that we can grow. And as challenging and painful as that is, it's really necessary. And I find that two things really help me when I'm facing a major loss. One of them is to remember that I am an eternal soul, and that what is appearing to be loss in the material plane is part of my soul growth. This allows me a place where I can move to and be honest and objective in what I'm feeling first, and what I'm observing, through my feelings. My feelings are guiding me as a soul being, an eternal soul being who knows I have been many lifetimes, many places, many. I come back to that place when I'm finding a very challenging situation in the material plane. And remember that as challenging as this is, it's not the first, it won't be the last. It is my opportunity to grow my soul, to better the human species, how I choose to handle it, what I choose to do with it. These are my gifts to humanity. That's why I came here. I want to grow my soul. I want to be helping the whole process better itself. And so even when it really hurts and I'm very confused and the feelings are overwhelming, I come back to knowing that I am an eternal being and that this is okay. This is the right thing. This is where I need to be. I have asked on some level to learn this. The other thing that helps me so much is to seek out relevant information and comfort sources. And what I mean by that is when I'm in a place where my overwhelm has completely drowned out my quiet in my mind, when there's nothing but chatter going on and the emotions are crashing and everything is all mixed up, I have to do something about that. I have to put myself in an environment to reestablish the quiet in my being. And to do that, I seek quality comfort and information. For me, comfort, I always find in going outside. I really lament that I have to come inside for anything. I am an outside kid. I go outside. I don't know. Everybody will have to find their own unique way if this is an idea that speaks to you. But the comfort I seek to quiet my mind always takes me outside. I do not care if it's snowing. I don't care if there's a rainstorm. If I am not in a good balance, I'm upset and my mind is crazy and I can't quiet it, outside. I just put myself outside. I breathe the air. I find my feet on planet Earth. We live on planet Earth, and the Earth has never once let me down. Not once in all my life that I have sought comfort outside have I ever come back feeling less calm. It has never happened. So I seek comfort and I seek quality information on some level to help enlighten me, to help me get a better perspective, to help me learn a new angle. Because if I just stay in a place of confusion and fear and overwhelm, I'm never going to go anywhere but just stay in that little puddle of muck. So I must comfort myself and quiet myself and then honestly listen in that quiet for a new source of information, a new source of guidance that can help me understand from a new perspective, lead me to another person, new information. And another thing that helps me ground and integrate all of this is beautiful music. I listen to music to help me integrate what it is that I am learning, what it is that I am seeing, how it's working. And if it's not working, the music really can help me enhance the new perspective. So I want to offer that in the letting go process, in the dealing with the challenge of the overwhelm, to take some new strategy, take a new approach. Don't expect, you know, the same result if you just, or don't expect a different result if you just keep doing the same thing, because it's just not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. So I want to share about letting go. I really feel like this is the place where we have the opportunity to let go. And now I'll slow down and bring us into where we were last week and what is going on in our world, and we're seeing all these things. And last week I had a very special guest, Sandra Menendez, and she had a lucid dream where she time traveled into the year 2030. Now, humans being multidimensionally fully equipped, our human capacity to time travel, to travel interdimensionally, to teleport ourselves is built in to our body, literally. And this is part of what is happening as the light increases, to allow us to see and activate these powers, these literal options in our control panel are becoming more and more accessible to all of us. And that means that there are an awful lot of people, I believe, who are having more of these types of lucid dreams, who are having more spontaneous visions when they're walking, who are having more profound and messages, like somebody just stopped in front of them, though they couldn't see this person, and gave them such a loving message. And this is happening more and more. And I want to put that out there because it's really happening more and more. You are not crazy. Nobody is crazy for having these experiences. This is normal. This is normal. And it is our opportunity now to learn how to develop this skill. It is in our toolbox. Our toolbox has a plethora of gadgets and interesting things that we have just now begun to fully see and fully appreciate as a collective. There are always people, have always been very special, very evolved souls who have come to this planet in our enslavement experiment to restore this faith in the human capacity, as the human itself has been very challenged in its youth. To me, the human on this planet is very, very, very young. This is a young species of the human, which is great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being young. However, the important thing is to remember that there are places to go as we get bigger, and to keep understanding that there is more to learn and more to grow. And I think a metaphor that's quite useful in this is, think about our computers. You know, everybody listening to this has a computer, right? So if we just go on the computer and go on the internet and maybe use the Word program or the PowerPoint, but we don't push any of the other buttons, then we have no idea what any of the other buttons do. But that doesn't mean they aren't there. It simply means we have not explored them. That is the metaphor that I like to use for the human experience. Although a computer could never, ever, ever come close to the multidimensional, profound quality of the human experience. And I know I want to even remotely suggest that the human is a mechanical process. It is not. If there was one word that would define the human process, it would be emotional. The human is an emotional process. And I'm not talking about emotional, I feel sad, I feel grief, I feel happy, I feel all that. No, I'm talking about another level of emotion altogether. The power of feeling, our sensory board. We are sensorily equipped to navigate multi dimensions all at the same time. And we actually are navigating all of these dimensions all at the same time, but we don't know it. We simply haven't pushed these other buttons in our conscious awareness to find out what's going on that channel, in that experience, in that dimension. The human, as a sensorially equipped, phenomenally hooked up, multidimensional species, having full access to multi-dimensions, and I don't even want to go with a number, because I think we don't know, frankly. I think really to move forward, we have to understand we don't know a whole lot more than we think we know. We actually would be very, I think, enriched by admitting that we don't have a clue. I think that what we have called science, and especially in the last 100 years, these modern scientists, they are anti-science. These guys do not have an investment in enriching the human knowledge, the human process. These guys have done more to put roadblocks in our natural curiosity then I could never even imagine how people would get so excited about telling somebody that your experience is not true and that we can't explore the zero point because it doesn't exist. Now, that is not science. That is anti-science. Anything that says that the experience is not provable is only because, well, basically, they're getting paid to say that. Okay? They are getting paid. Their status has been invested. Maybe they're even being threatened, you know, their life, all these things that have completely co-opted the integrity of the human being has played itself in bright colors in the anti-science community. Just using the example of the near-death experience, the audacity of these people who consider themselves experts telling experiencers that their process is not valid is, number one, completely disrespectful, inhumane, and plain barbaric. Not only is it void of basic morals and ethics and basic human respect, This process denies the proper exploration, the proper integration of the extraordinary messages that the near-death experience brings to us all here on planet Earth. So as we transcend our need to be roadblocked, we will outgrow our need for anti-science. These people who are invested in being right will have to make a decision within themselves, ultimately, because less and less people are even interested in what they're talking about, you know? So this is coming out on so many levels, really, in the recent, this our last week. I mean, here's an example. Our anti-science at work in the FDA telling people that they cannot use a drug that actually cures cancer. Well, why would we want to have a drug that cures cancer? I mean, what is the FDA? I mean, these guys, we call them experts. Experts in what? You know, what is their real field? If they are not at all interested in exploring the efficacy of something that is even in their realm of pharmaceutical options, then who are they? And why aren't we asking? Why are we not asking? Why are we just sitting around and taking that? And we're not taking it. That's the whole point. People are coming out and saying, look, that is nonsense. This is such good news for so many of us who have been knocking on the doors of people, trying to help people understand that there's more to this picture. You know, the people have completely made a decision for themselves, and it's slow in coming. It doesn't look like it yet, but those little things like the uproar and that make me very hopeful. So where are we going? Now, this is a very special thing to visit. In Sandra's dream of 2030, where we are headed is quite definitely a place where we are happy. We're happy. We are joyful. We are connected to our place of being. We are connected to each other. We are living in a world that's beautiful, aesthetically beautiful. That the cars that she mentioned, they glide. And they glide, in her words, as if they were a living organism. Imagine that. Traffic. Have you ever sat on a bridge and watched the traffic, you know, 5 o'clock traffic, and this amazing gnat of people and their horns honking and all that? Imagine that transforming to one living organism of entities who are in vehicles that are gliding quietly and totally in harmony with each other. They're all connected. There's no rush. There's no rush. There's nothing to be angry about. We're all in these traffic because we want to be here. And we care about that person ahead of us. We want them to get where they're going safely. We are interested in their well-being. We understand that their well-being is intimately connected to ours, that all beings matter, that if one person is out of whack with the whole, then we are all out of whack, that in 2030, we didn't even discuss these things because we are completely activated in our senses. She makes several notices of our senses, how we're sensorially hooked up. We are. She used the word telepathic. Telepathic works for me. It might not work for you. But to me, the word telepathic is the word that I learned and am very comfortable with from my experience with my mother, Juliet, that our telepathic communion continues. If you would like to read the transcription of Sandra's dream, you can do so. I have posted it on my profile page on bbsradio.com and click on Alchemy of Light. I have posted it. You can also find it on my blog, alchemyoflight.org. It's the fourth down or so. It's the interview with Sandra and her dream transcription. It's very clear in the title. You are welcome to visit this and see if it talks to you. Does any of it resonate with you? What part of it speaks to you the most? What part of it interests you? Or what part of it frightens you? What part of it makes no sense at all? And I really appreciate this medium because I am very excited about the way we communicate with each other. And in our busy, fast world, you know, we have, for the moment, abandoned really talking to each other. So one of the things that I really like about this opportunity with the radio is another vehicle to pass on the oral tradition. Now, it sounds kind of funny, but I'm an indigenous soul all the way. And the oral tradition is how stories have been passed on for ages. We have talked to each other. We have listened to each other. We have shared with each other what we think, what we feel, how it works, how it doesn't work. In this way, we are all little bits of color in the stained glass. This is how we turn our lights on and become the beautiful mosaic that is humanity. And so in the radio, to share this dream and then to find a way to keep it going, to help pursue this possibility as a real option for all of us. It is important to not just glance at it, but to really be with it, to really look at it, and look at what that means to us. If we look at our life right now, and we look at the possibility of becoming telepathically connected to all life, to dancing joyfully in the street, to experiencing a levity in our walk, to finding joy in every step we take, and we're looking at ourselves right now, how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, we're going to have to let go. We're going to have to let go of a lot of things, people, situations, most of all. We're going to have to let go of a lot of belief systems that do not support this idea. That's why we have to look at this idea and look at it again and look at it again and look at it again. The first time we look at it, it will possibly be very emotional. We'll hear all of our first level tapes go off. They'll say, oh, never. Or they'll say, yeah, depending where you're at. The first level reaction is just that. Look again. This time look again with pen and paper and say to yourself, honestly, can I see that 5 o'clock traffic moving as a living organism? Can I walk down the street and see the beautiful heart in every single being that I pass and know that that beautiful heart is seeing me? Can I see that? Ask yourself. And ask yourself if you can or you can't, why can you or why can't you? This is how we grow our consciousness. This is how we grow our way of thinking and feeling. We have to be willing to study our own consciousness, our own way we think and we feel, our own unique set of circumstances that brought us to this point, which is what our belief systems are totally made of. Our belief systems are given to us, or we inherit them for the sake of functioning, they have provided a service to us to this point. And if we are going to take full responsibility for ourselves as being co-creators, then the place to start is the control room in our belief systems, in who we believe we think we can be and who we believe we think we cannot be. Are we prepared to allow ourselves to move into the year 2030 and have no more war? Can we do that? Are we willing to even visit that in ourselves? Because we are the change that we have been waiting for. We are it. And I am not the only one saying it. And there will be more people saying it. But more than that, we have to do a lot more than talk about it. It isn't about talking about it. It's about being it. It's about really weighing that in ourselves, being with the feelings of that. Does that feel scary? Does that feel exciting? What does that mean? If we are living in a world without war, if nobody is thinking about hurting anybody today, if nobody is thinking about what they can get from somebody, if we're all thinking, rather, about what we can give, if we wake up in the morning and think, yes, I can give my love to the day. I can give my love to the birds. I can bring my new neighbor a loaf of bread. I can pick that flower for my new friend. And all we're thinking about is what we can give today. Can we imagine that? Can we imagine being in the moment for the sake of being in the moment? Can we imagine not having to feel the pressure of what we think we're supposed to be doing? What do we think we're supposed to be doing anyway? And why do we think that? This is the cultivation of our consciousness. We must visit these things in ourselves and decide for ourselves what we want to do, who we want to be, and what we want to see in our world and what we want to pass on to our children in our world. This is our world. This is our opportunity to change this world into the reflection of the most beautiful loving light inside each and every one of our hearts. And only we can do that. It's not out there. There's no magic pill. There's no magic poem. There's no magic anything except each one of us is pure magic in the making. The magic is inside of our hearts. The magic is in the poetry of our souls. Dancing in the colors of every single day, the possibility of the creation. Every single day, we are the magic in motion that will and is creating this world of levity and light and beauty. And I feel that with my whole heart and soul. I feel that even in the crying out that I see in people who are stressed, very stressed about, I'll just take this one example. Change, period, is stressful. The one example I want to use is the stress of the financial meltdown. People, understandably, are very, very agitated because the money system is collapsing. Now, the money system is intentionally collapsing, but that is a whole different story. I want to stay focused on our personal power and what the financial collapse might offer for some of us who are willing to go inside of our hearts, feel what we feel, look at who we are, look at who we want to be, look at the options we have in becoming, make the changes and let go of who we are not. I want to focus on that. In the money system collapsing, it shows us So many things. It is the greatest gift to the human spirit that this debtor economy has gone belly up. Because the debtor economy has always demanded a slave race. And if anybody out there would really like to be a slave, would you please email me? I really want to know who here on planet Earth would volunteer, would intentionally want to bend over for some entity or some energy that hates it. Who wants to do that? Who wants to be a slave? Now, I'll be interested. I'm very serious. If you want to be a slave, I want to hear from you. All right? So for the rest of us who do not have any interest in being a slave, we must face the fact that this debtor economy has enslaved our species. It's time for us to see the bigger picture. We have allowed people to go hungry, not because there was not enough food, but because we have allowed our precious, precious resources here on planet Earth to be usurped and controlled by a few entities, by a few bankers and their interests. And that is a very complicated, simple answer, but that is the bottom line. We have more than enough resources to take care of everybody. There is not a good reason anywhere that one person should ever go hungry. But the debtor economy has set it up so that the crops rot on the trees if there isn't enough money to harvest them. But where is our love? Where is our heart? We have abandoned that. And with the debtor economy collapsing, the money gone, we are offered. This is the gift. We are offered the gift to review what we're doing and why we're doing it. Do we really feel good knowing that there are so many hungry people on this planet when our orchard is rotting the fruit that could feed them? And that is a metaphor. You don't have to be a farmer to get that. You can play with that in your own heart and find what fruit of yours have you not been giving? What is the love in you that has not had a chance to come out and give its gift in the world? This is what the debtor economy has done. It has taken all of our time. It has strangled our highest ethics. It has convinced us of our values, which are not our own. The debtor economy must go, and we can build a new system of reciprocity that truly reflects the interests of all living beings, that truly respects all life. We can do that, and you know what? It's what's in us naturally. We don't even have to go get some fancy degree to do that. We know how to do that. In our hearts, our feeling capacity guides us. We know how to do that. It's natural. All we need to do is develop our own personal connection, our own deep awareness of who we are and what's important to us, and let go of everything that does not serve that. The debtor economy collapsing is the greatest gift to humanity. Okay, so now that's all cool and spiritual and all that, right, Jamil? Now, how am I going to pay my rent? Okay, I can hear y'all going like that. There. The answer to that is our suffering will end the sooner we all work together. We all have to take care of each other. We don't have money for all these things that we thought we needed. What do we really need? We need to grow ourselves, and we need to look at who we are and what we really need. And then if the rent doesn't come, then we have to accept that this is part of the healing that we've asked for, that we've asked to be cleansed of whatever this situation has presented for us, and open our heart to feeling it and not the victim, oh gee, feeling it as the lesson that it offers for us. Because especially in America, people, we have been brainwashed to believe that you are your things, but you are not your things. You are not your material possessions. You are not your ability to control and manipulate others, which goes along with the debtor economy. That is really not who you are. That is an option you have to really be with and decide if that is the kind of person you really want to be. What kind of person do you really want to be? The debtor economy dissolving is an opportunity for us all to remember that we live on planet Earth, for us all to visit what we truly need, for us all to become acquainted with the incredible resources that are available here on planet Earth, for us all to face the fact that we have given our power away to a handful of malevolent interests who have usurped all of our resources. We have the option to take back our sovereignty as human beings living on a planet, that we have the right to share all of the resources with all living beings on. Every single apple that grows on planet Earth belongs to every single entity on the planet Earth. It do not belong to any one person, no matter how much they may think it does. When the debtor economy, as the debtor economy dissolves, the Earth reclaims her sovereignty, and we have the opportunity to join her in celebrating reclaiming our own sovereignty. We have a right to eat well. We have a right to enjoy the sunset. This whole idea of owning the seaside is absurd. The seaside belongs to everybody. And it is our responsibility to honor that and to give thanks for that and to take care of that and to integrate the key responsibility in claiming our sovereignty. Freedom, it needs to be revisited. I don't have time to go there right now, but let's look first at claiming responsibility for the fact that we can do better and for the fact that we want to do better in all of our hearts. It is the most natural human yearning to sing its song, to express itself, to be heard, to be seen, to be loved. We deserve that. We absolutely deserve that. Nobody has a right to tell us we don't. And if they are telling us that, well, this is what I have discovered. In my inner judiciary system, I have passed the LTA law. Okay? In my inner judiciary system, I have weighed this very interesting phenomena that we are experiencing with people who want to tell us that we can't be who we really are. And furthermore, they intentionally put themselves in the way of that by telling us mean things, or even sometimes by just being rude people. Okay? There's a lot of that going on right now. So the LTA is simply this. Love them anyway. Yes, just love them anyway. You know, they are hurting. People who abandon their own heart, people who do and say things that are disrespectful, that are hurtful, whether they intend to be hurtful or not, they themselves are hurting. Those people are in a lot of pain. They are struggling with their own story and who they are. So I passed the LTA so I could love them anyway, because I want them to grow and to heal and to be the best that they can be, the same that I want for me and for every being. So to love them anyway gives them the full respect for being exactly where they're at in their process, and allows me the full respect to love them anyway and get out of their way, because it is also not my job to put myself in harm's way of a rude person. By loving them anyway, I allow myself to excuse myself from these particular people and these particular behaviors and these particular situations that drag me down, because I have had to learn that people will suck you dry. They will just suck you dry and spin you out. They'll twist you around. They'll do all these things. I don't have to engage with those people. I can love them anyway and excuse myself. That is my way of giving them love and letting go of my need to change them. I'm letting go of my need for them to be anything but what they are. I'm allowing them to be who they are, to be where they're at, and letting go of my need for anything to be any different than what it is, by taking full responsibility for myself, for my own feelings, for my own experience of how that feels, of how that's working, of what my inner wisdom, what my little voice is telling me. I'm honoring my little voice when it says, get the heck out of there. That is not a good situation. I love them anyway. Excuse myself and thank them for giving me the opportunity to have that very intimate process with myself and read that message and act on it. I have taken full responsibility, allowed that person their full process, and I do not have to be part of anything that doesn't feel right in my heart. And that has really helped me a lot, because we really have a lot of funky behaviors going on, and I'm running close to my hour, so I'll just spend this last few minutes with some things about the internet. Now, the internet is a fantastic resource for information, but I would like to raise the question about if it's making us better people. Because some things about the internet that I have noticed is that the internet has provided a tremendous source of information. It has truly made us better informed people. But what are we doing with our great information? Are we sharing it? Are we integrating it? Are we just, you know, coveting it? Are we keeping it all to ourselves? Are we interested in expanding that? Is it inspiring us to become more proactive about things that we notice we care about? What is it doing to us as a person? How is it making us better people? Then we go to emails and these ways that we ignore people, the way that we just, you know, so conveniently act like that doesn't exist. The people, the way that hand devices have, I was teasing myself. I was like, yeah, I think the next, you know, generation for some people, they're going to be born with their hand, you know, cupped so that they can hold their little thing, because they're looking at their little thing and they're not looking at you. So how is the electronic world really helping us become better people? It's helping us be better informed, but what kind of people is it helping us become? I really want to raise that question, because I think there's a lot more to the internet we could use. We could use it so much better if we also cultivated the person that we are becoming. So I hope that this has been a helpful broadcast for you all. I am Jamil Graham, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to share some thoughts about our world and who we are and where we're going. My website is alchemyoflight.org, and the website that I highly also recommend, that is also my shared website with my mother, Juliet Nightingale, is towardthelight.org. And so I would like to offer a toast to all of us becoming who we truly are. The secret is in our heart. It's in the garden of our beautiful soul and discovering the wealth that abounds there. If we just take a moment and look. So I'll be back in a fortnight. Please do take care of yourselves and take good care of each other. We're all in this together. We are in this together. We are going to get through this. We are going to get through this easier the more we look after each other, the more we help each other out. The more we find what we can do to be of service to others will greatly enhance and ease the strain of our transition. It is a very challenging, challenging time. We have not even begun to see the intensity that is coming. I'm avoiding using the worst word, but it's going to get a lot more challenging. A lot more challenging for the people, especially who are having the hardest time finding the love in their heart for themselves and the love in their heart for their fellow humans. It's going to be much, much, much harder for them. So those of us who can find that grace in ourselves, who are actively cultivating our consciousness to becoming that loving person, to being that loving light here on planet Earth, we have an opportunity to extend tremendous compassion and love them anyway, because we are going to have a lot of opportunity to practice. So I will send you all with that note and close and wish you all the best. Take good care.